Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another Norm at Night. First thing I'd like to do is apologize to you all for not being here last week. I am. I'm not going to bother to make any kind of excuses. I just was in a place where I couldn't get to the internet, and I'm really sorry about that. But rather than play the music intro, I just wanted to let you all know that. But just for some old time's sake, let's have a little Bad Habits. Oh, yeah. A lot of bad habits. I love that song. I guess I probably play it too much, but I guess the first topic up for tonight is Afghanistan. I have five lines open, and you can give me a call, 347-945-6713, if you want to jump in on Afghanistan. I really would like somebody to call, because to be perfectly blunt, I was very upset with the president's speech. Not how the speech was given. The speech, again, was flawless. But I just had the sense that the speech was propaganda. First of all, going to the military academy to give the speech. Everything about the speech was a prop. I thought this was an anti-war president. A president who understood that we're simply occupying two countries and trying to shape them to our way of life. And I don't think we have any right to tell any country how they should be in the state of nature or how they leave the state of nature. We have the right to say how we're going to do things, and that's what we do. But we do not have the right to insert ourselves into Afghanistan. We went there. We kicked the Taliban out. We had our chance to capture Osama bin Laden. We blew it. He may be alive, he may not be alive. I don't think it really matters. But I don't think we should spend one more American life in Afghanistan chasing this dream of making it an American colony, because that's what we're doing. And you know what? That doesn't even make any sense. What does Afghanistan have except poppies that are at all in our interest? The president kept talking about how Afghanistan, it was in our national interest to stay there. Okay? I'll grant you. It's in our national interest, Mr. President. Now tell me what those national interests are. How is it in America's interest to stay in Afghanistan? What are we in, a big pissing contest with all the Muslims? We're tougher than you are. 347-945-6713. Or you can join us in the chat room. Let me go see if anybody's in there. Hey. Okay, Cult. The Cult will be with us later. I'm really glad to hear that. Hey, Gas 4309, I see you're in the chat room. If you got something to say, I'll be glad to relay it to the audience at large, or if you want to make the step to call in, 347-945-6713. I guess I can tweet this. Let's see. I forget what happens when I tweet this. I don't know how many of you are out there with Twitter, but if you really like Norm at Night, you can follow me at nconstantine. Oh, now I forgot where I was in the password. There we go. You can Twitter me at nconstantine, and we'll go right in there. Yeah, there's the tweet. Okay. Got a little tiny little thing there. Let me just go look. Or you can, if you're already at Twitter, you can just go to tweet. I'll leave this window open too. But if you want to join me live, 347-945-6713. That's been the call-in number for over 2 years now. And I like it. So the topic we're talking, oh, shoot, what did I just do? The topic we're talking about now is Afghanistan. I got five lines open. We heard what the president had to say. You heard what Norm had to say. Now Norm's interested in what you have to say. I guess I can put on some more music, but I really don't want to. You know, I think I'm getting the H1N1 or whatever you call that flu. Excuse me. I've developed a little cough. I got some aches and pains. I hope to God I don't end up with a fever. Hey! Let me tell you something. Let me do a little commercial here. If you're anywhere near the Plains, Virginia, on December 17th or December 18th, they're having a wonderful play at the Wakefield School in the Plains. It's Dylan Thomas's A Child's Christmas in Wales. And, yeah, yours truly is going to be on the stage. And I'm going to enjoy it, but, wait, here we go. I got a call coming in, 716. Go ahead, 716, you're on with Norm.
Hey, Norm, Sam Irachi here.
Hey, Sam, how are you?
It's probably been about 40 years since we've talked.
You know, I think the last time we talked was on the pitcher's mound at Delaware number 2.
You got a good memory. Hey, Norm, listen, I just left a bar from Clinton Street, Wechecks.
No kidding.
I just left Jeff Lacey, Kevin Galvin, just some old high school classmates.
Oh, that's really nice. Jeff Lacey, wow. Does he still have that curly blonde hair?
Well, he's lost. He doesn't have as much hair as you do. I saw on your Facebook, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one thing that stayed with me is my hair.
We were just talking about. Now, Norm, I don't know how many other calls, so I don't want to kind of dominate.
Oh, no. You don't. No. Well, they can wait. Go ahead.
Well, we were just talking about some of our old teachers that used to terrorize us at Canisius. Grotke for Latin class.
Gosh, you know, Mr. Grotke, he used to ride the Delavan bus with me.
You know,
I
it's
swear
to God. That, Norm, because I'm right now on Bailey Avenue near Delavan.
That's where you are physically right now?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I lived on Kermit Avenue.
Well, when I first got
married... Go ahead.
When I first got married in 73, we lived on Gerald.
Oh, that's right. I remember hearing about... Yes.
So I saw you're doing the IT work.
Yeah, I am. Actually, I'm essentially a school teacher. I'm at a place called the Wakefield School in the Plains, Virginia. And it's just a great deal of fun. And, well, you're big time Paul. I forgot. You were the mayor.
When Jim Griffin was mayor in Buffalo.
Right.
From 78 to 93.
Uh-huh.
I had a few positions with the mayor.
Weren't you the assistant mayor?
I was deputy mayor.
Yes, deputy mayor. That was it.
From 86 to 92. And then the mayor left office in
end
of 93. And then I went down to Elmira, New York, which is about 2.5 hours from Buffalo.
Right. I know Elmira. There's a prison there.
Yeah, that's right. There's two major prisons there. I was the city manager there for almost 12 years.
Oh, so are you retired now?
Actually, I am retired, but I'm doing some consulting work for the city of Tonawanda, and I'm working with a group that's trying to build a hockey facility in Lockport, New York. So... My kids talked me into getting onto this Facebook thing, and, you know, we're kind of at the age where this, at least for me, the technology stuff is a little foreign to us, but when I saw your name and your face, I had to make sure that I at least reached out to you, and I appreciate
it. Oh, well, I was so excited to get your friend in. And so I accepted it immediately, and I'm so glad you called. And it's every Tuesday night, 9 to 10. And, I don't know if you saw the billing, but I bill myself as the fat left-hander. And, somebody asked me what I think of Barack Obama, and I had to say, wait a minute, I'll look to the right and see if I can see him.
I'm supposed to call Kevin Galvin when I get home to give him this phone number so that he can
chime in. Speaking of the old teachers, I was just talking with somebody, and did you ever have Mr. Steen?
I did.
Were we in the same class, the economics class at first year?
Yes, and you remember the bonus point questions on page 46? There's an American flag waving. Which direction is it waving? It got extra credit, right?
And all I remember is one night he made me write 1,000 words on how to grow hair on a doorknob. I always remember that. Hey, see some? Go ahead.
I ran into Bill Steen. He was doing some work for the Buffalo Board of Education. Now, I haven't seen him in many years. Mm-hmm. But if you remember, when he used to walk in the classroom, he used to make us stand up.
That's right. The school I'm at now, the students still have to do that.
Is that right?
Absolutely. When a teacher walks in, when any adult walks in the room for any reason, everybody rises until the person says you may sit again.
Well, you know, considering the world we live in and the way things are going, it's maybe not such a bad thing, you know.
Well, yeah, it's really, you know what the best thing about talking to somebody like you is? The Buffalo accent. I so miss it. And when
really?
You're in a wave, oh, it's so distinct also.
You're telling me that I have an accent?
Oh, without a question. It's wonderful. You know, I think I'm at Pat's down at Front Park having a hot dog.
You know, we were talking about every once in a while some of the guys here try to get together, you know, just, you know, stay in touch with everybody. You know, we had the reunion a year or so ago. It was about
right.
2 weeks after Tim Russert died. And
right. Tim and I were actually pretty close down here.
Yeah, and, you know, I was on the golf. It was a Friday afternoon. I'll never forget it. I was on the golf course with a couple South Buffalo guys, good friends of mine, Jim and Dave Comerford. And Dave's phone rang, and he knew, you know, I went to school with Tim, and it was his wife. And he said, he looks at me, and he says, Tim Russert just died. I said, you know, come on, Dave. You know, he said, no.
Nice.
And the reunion, Norm, was about 2 weeks after Tim died, and it was a very strange atmosphere, you know.
Mm-hmm. He was going to make me come with him.
Really?
Yes, and he, I did a lot of web work for him. I did all the websites for Big Russ and Me.
Really?
And yeah, and but a really nice thing he did, my daughter graduated from high school that May, just before he died, and he agreed to come and make the commencement speech.
Wow.
And it was really nice, and in fact, if you want to go hear it, you can go to a site called theconstantines.us. And it's at my grandmother and grandfather. It's a site that never really grew, but my grandmother and grandfather are on an Italian flag. But down at the bottom of the page is the commencement speech that Tim made. And it was absolutely, it was a big moment. My daughter will remember it forever.
I bet you she will. And, you know, that weekend of the reunion, you know, we had an event Friday night, and then Sunday there was a mass in the auditorium where we used to go out Friday morning for mass.
Mm-hmm. Every Friday, absolutely. Nobody believes that.
Oh, yeah. I remember it well. And I remember his dad, and his dad was, you know, obviously, I mean, he was kind of a broken guy, you know, and it was really sad.
Yeah, you know, and Tim, he used to tell the story about how John Sturm used to come walking down the aisle with his hands folded, and he'd hear somebody talking in the pews, and he'd drop his hands and give him a whack, and then fold his hands again and keep walking down the aisle.
Yep. Hey, Norm, do you ever run into Jay's Caulfield?
You know, Father Sturm actually came down here a few years ago and to promote his book, Life's Not a Dress Rehearsal.
Right.
And there was like a gathering, and I saw Jace there, and and that was really cool. And another guy who's down here, is Dave Zvijak.
Really?
Well, yeah, the last time he's a physicist. He lives in Arlington somewhere. And I actually used to ride the Delavan bus with him. He used to come down Bailey from the Polish neighborhoods, and we get on the Delavan bus and go up to and have coffee at the open house. And then run like hell to get there by 8:30.
It's we were just talking, Jeff and Kevin Galvin talking about taking a Main Street bus to Kensington, and after they got out of Maxwell's on Main Street. And
oh my, do you know, I just started teaching at St. Mary's High School in Annapolis, and I took a bunch of kids. I asked Tim if I could bring a bunch of kids down to see the show, and he said sure, but we had to come on a day because there wasn't really a big audience section, but so we had to come on a day that it wasn't somebody real juicy, but it was still a lot of fun. But
yep.
after the show's over, you know, and the cameras are all off, he was just like a big giant bear. he comes walking over. And he's about 6'2". I swear he weighed 300 pounds at the end. If he weighed an ounce,
really, he got that heavy, huh?
Well, he looked good. It didn't look fat. He was just a big guy.
Yeah.
But he comes walking over, and I'm standing there with all these kids, and first word out of his mouth, I'll never forget, he says, "So where's the St. Mary's group?" So you're down here with Storm and Norman. How will you make sure on the way home he tells you how we used to go to Maxwell's for a beer? I was going to die.
Oh, man. You know, we were saying tonight, talking to some of the guys. Phil Arnold was there. I don't know if you remember Phil and Tony.
I remember Phil.
Yeah,
Tony Mancini, right? Mancinelli.
Mancinelli, that's right. Tony was there, and Jim Duggan.
I remember
we're talking. Wow. You know, we're telling stories, Norm, and it dawned on us. You know, we're talking about stuff that happened 45 years ago.
It isn't. And it's like it was yesterday.
It really is, and you know, as we go through life and we have families. You know, when it comes to, you know, good memories, the days of Canisius are right at the top there.
Right. Remember Father, oh, gosh, his name is slipping my tongue right now. An English teacher. Not Father Maltese.
Father Maltese.
Remember ninth grade. All right. We will now have a sex education talk. You will take notes, boys. You will take notes.
Yes, and if you do it too often, you're going to go blind.
That's Father.
How about Father Huffnagel?
Father Huffnagel, eat pork and you'll die.
The whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead. And he was the first guy. I remember buying a cup of sunflower seeds from him.
Do you remember you take biology class from him and he put you in order of what your grade was? You did that. Nowadays they'd sue you.
It was like public humiliation.
The first person on the right was number one. Last person on the left. I had that seat a couple times, I think. But Father Nauman, my mother was always brokenhearted because I didn't go to a Jesuit college.
Uh-huh.
And then when my son went to the public high school, my wife's very big on public education, and my mother was heartbroken. And then he was a soccer player and he got a scholarship to Lemoyne.
Nice.
So he goes to Lemoyne College, right? Oh, and it was the best thing that ever happened to him. He discovered school, and it was really great. But he says, I walk into this English class, and all of a sudden, the teacher says to me, Constantine, did you have a father from Buffalo? Father Nauman.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. Right again, Constantine. Right again. Unbelievable.
How many kids you got?
I have three. A son, he's 27. My daughter is 23. She's looking, if she ever finishes undergraduate school, she wants to go to pharmacy school. And then I have a 20-year-old daughter who's a sophomore at Towson University.
Wow, we got three kids too. I got married in 73.
Uh-huh.
Our oldest is 31. He's a physical therapist. My second oldest, Andrew, lives in Austin, Texas.
Our
third, Jessica, lives, she's in graduate school. She lives in Toronto.
What's she studying?
Biology.
Oh, is she at UT?
University of Toronto, yes.
Yeah. Oh, very nice. How about the... Go ahead.
She's actually, Norm, doing some teacher assistant work, too, in addition to her... getting her master's. So, but she, it's, you know, as you know, Toronto's cool stuff. You know, we see her not regularly, but often enough, like, you know, pick her up.
Right. No, it's a nice distance. And yes, but not too many people went to that football game last Thursday.
Oh, you know, Norm, I was thinking of going up there, and actually, I'm glad I didn't, the way the Bills played, but.
The game was okay. I watched it in a tavern in Warrenton, Virginia. It was amazing. No, it's amazing. An Irish pub called Molly's. It's amazing. It was full of Buffalo Bills jerseys.
Is that right?
It's just like come out of the woodwork. It's amazing. You know, there was a guy from Fredonia, a couple of people from Tonawanda, another person from... from the west side. Oh, it was,
There's Buffalo people all over the place, right?
It's amazing. It really almost
is.
Scary. Hey, let me ask you something. Maybe you know, I'm not going to mention any names or anything, but did they have a house clean over at Holy Angels?
You know what, Norm? I'm not sure about that. Recently, you mean?
Well, yeah. Like, they seem to bring in a whole new administrative team.
At Holy Angels High School?
Yes.
I don't know, but I will make a point. There's a couple people I know that are familiar with the situation over there that I could call.
Because my a friend of mine who actually went to Narden, but was, I didn't meet her until I went to the state college. She was principal over there, and I didn't know if she retired or what happened, but because she's 59. She's sure not old enough to retire, I don't think, but I just wondered what happened. Because my brother still lives in Buffalo. Well, actually in Williamsville.
Uh-huh.
My sister lives in Hamburg.
So what made you go down to Virginia? What happened that you went down to Virginia?
Well, I graduated from the college. I went in the Navy.
You went in the Navy?
I went in the Navy right after in 73. And I went down to Pensacola to the officer candidate school. And I had a nice time in the Navy. And then I came down to Maryland, College Park, to go to graduate school. And I got a job teaching at a tiny little private school. And I never left. I met my wife while I was at Maryland. We got married. I went from, this is the fourth school I've been at. You know, and this one was in Virginia, and I really liked this school. And it's a long way from our house, but I like it enough. I just sort of stay down here during the week and then go back to Maryland on weekends.
Oh, really?
But we got to do something about that for next year.
So your family, your wife is in Maryland, but you're working
in Bowie,
Virginia.
Maryland. I work, yeah, but it's way in the northern Virginia. And
how far of a drive is that?
It would be 75 miles if I drove each way.
But you don't do that every day, but I don't.
No, I actually live down here during the week. One of the school families, they have a little apartment, and you know, if I would take their son back and forth to school every day, they said I could live here.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
The reason, Norm, I find that interesting is when I was managing in Elmira,
mm-hmm.
I kept my house here in Buffalo. My wife was here. And I would live down there during the week, and I would come back on the weekend.
That's exactly what I do. And, you know, I could make the drive. It takes about an hour and 15 minutes. But it's the traffic. It drives you insane. There's no. It is unbelievable what the traffic is like down here.
That gets old.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh,
it gets
old
in
about an hour. Yes. So
really.
What are Jeff Lacey and Kevin, what do they do now? And
Jeff,
is Tony a doctor?
Tony Mancinelli?
Yeah.
Tony's an attorney.
Oh, an attorney. Okay.
I just left Tony. Jeff Lacey is an attorney.
Oh, okay.
He's doing work for, it's a weird thing. Jeff works for the court system for New York State.
Uh-huh.
And if you had somebody that was like, let's say convicted of a crime for pedophilia.
Okay.
When they get released from prison for serving their prison sentence.
Uh-huh.
There's a civil procedure where that person gets committed to it like an institution until the state is convinced that they're not a threat to society. And what Jeff does is he kind of represents those individuals in the civil proceeding. And
okay.
He was telling me the stuff that the files that he has to read and stuff is just, you know, you can't believe stuff that's going out like that. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah. No, I understand. And what about Kevin Galvin?
Kevin was there. Kevin spends the winters in Florida, a place
mm-hmm.
called Treasure Island. He retired from, he was the director of the city's board of zoning, board of appeal,
uh-huh.
zoning board. And,
uh-huh.
So Kevin, you know, he's not working. He's just kind of enjoying himself.
Oh, well, is he married?
Never got married, no. He's,
oh, well, you know, I got a picture here. I'm sure I should get, Kevin and I, actually, before Canisius, we played midget league football together.
Is that right?
That's right. And hold on 1 second. Hey, go ahead, 916. You're on with Norm.
Hey, guy. How's it going?
Hey, good. Just hold on. I got another old Buffalo buddy. Just listen in for a while.
Yeah, is
yeah.
that
but
Paul,
anyway,
Paul from Crystal Beach?
No. It's an old friend of mine from high school.
Oh, okay, cool.
From Canisius, and but I was just go ahead.
Okay, just put me in there, and I'll.
Okay,
jump
you're. Yeah, well, anyway, Carl, I don't know. Carl's another old friend from Buffalo. You remember Sam Arachi, the deputy mayor?
No, I think...
Okay. He was deputy mayor to Jimmy Griffin.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't there for the Griffin years. I heard they were, how shall we say, colorful?
let's leave it at colorful.
Yeah, they told me he was quite the boss, yeah.
Well, anyway, I was telling you, Sam, I have this great, we played on this team that was sponsored by Tinny Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
Tinny Cadillac on Main Street.
Yeah, I remember
yes,
that.
And Kevin, we're practically sitting right next to each other. My brother sent me these pictures. They're absolutely hilarious. I didn't even think they existed anymore.
Oh,
but anyway,
you know what? Speaking of pictures,
now,
I found some
hold
pictures.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Are we
okay, hold on.
Are
yeah, you're both
on
at the same time. We're all on at the same time.
Oh, okay.
That's the way it is at Norm at Night.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
I don't like cutting off. I'm a big First Amendment guy. I don't like cutting off the conversation. Even let George W. talk. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm teaching American government this term, and I always call, whenever I get to teach a section of government, I always call the White House and ask to speak to the president.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always very nice. So I just assume my guy is going to be very nice when I call. The Obama White House is not very nice to you when you call and ask to speak to the president.
Oh.
And it embarrassed me because I had the phone on speaker. We had all just written him letters.
None of that Southern hospitality, huh?
No.
Well, he's from Chicago. What the hell?
Well, anyway, I just thought they would be nice. But we all wrote him letters. And so I'm interested to see how they respond to them because they're analog letters, you know, with stamps on them. And President Barack Obama, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And see if he reads one in bed.
Mm.
In fact, I think one of the kids even opened the letter. If you're reading this in bed tonight, excuse me. But anyway, we watched his speech, the Afghan speech in bed, on the big screen, classroom, and then we all wrote letters, and it was stunning how just across the classroom, when, you know, 14 kids watched the same thing, how they all saw and heard different things. Well, you would know, Sam. You're a politician. You dealt with that all the time. It just stunned me.
It's Obama the Warrior. That was the Warrior speech.
I
have a flag in, behind him, and he didn't strut around in jackboots.
he's taken a lot of heat from his left flank.
Yes, he sure has, and I'm firing up the blowtorch.
Same here.
It's real easy, Barack, to be against the war when you're a state senator from Illinois. Yeah, it's real easy to talk that talk and fry my girl over it.
But he's
and then
got
when
a
you
Republican
get,
Secretary of Defense.
And when you get in office.
And he's worried about the military.
When you get in office, he can pick up the phone and end that war today. All of a sudden, you get shrinkage. We'll leave it at that.
Hey, his strategy is It's a political strategy. He's going to have all the military behind him, you know, in 2012, right?
Yeah. What I worry about
and
is
all
the
defense. Yeah, exactly. A lot of money. A lot of money there.
I'm worried he's going to go the same route as Lyndon Johnson and just be destroyed by this whole war thing.
Yeah.
He's got a chance with his health care bill. He's got a chance to step into the same arena as Frank Roosevelt with Social Security.
Well,
and they got the votes. Stop all this. Oh, well, we got to try to be bipartisan. Stop it right down their throats.
Yeah, but there, you may get the compromise, speaking of Roosevelt, meaning they'll just expand Medicare and Medicaid, where it goes down to age 55 or something like that.
Then the whole country's single payer, and I'm happy.
Yeah, but
40% of the country's single payer already. 40%. And everyone ignores that.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm sorry.
But they're gonna take the compromise, and I believe the compromise will be an expansion of Medicaid and Medicare.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see how it goes. But I think it's a lot. It's at least. I don't think it happens by the end of the month.
To get the 60 votes in the Senate, they're going to have to come up with some alternative to a government, sponsored program. And I think you're right that they're going to look to maybe expanding Medicare or Medicaid.
They
don't need 60 votes.
And that covers the people like me who are retired at 55, you know.
Stop. They don't need 60 votes. They need 51. Actually, they need 50 because the vice president's a Democrat.
Yeah, and I know.
Now, if the crazies want to just start talking and talk it to death, get some stones, Obama. Get up in front of the country and say, all government stops until these guys stop talking.
Yeah, but if he does something other than 60 votes, you know, the Senate rules and all that, it's going to be kind of nuclear.
Okay.
I think.
Mushroom clouds over Washington.
Mm. Yeah, he's got to get some kind of bill.
Oh, I know he does. But he only needs 51 votes to get it. And if he does that, that scummy conference, just get any bill and then rewrite the bill in conference and then just have a straight-up vote, that's pretty scummy.
They'll filibuster it right through the Christmas break.
Can't filibuster. No, 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 no,
they can,
no, no.
Can
they go, if they have a conference, well, 24 no.
24 hours a day all the way through.
I know, but he can get a bill through the Senate. And once he does, then they have to reconcile the bills, and the leadership will write those bills because they'll pick who's on the conference committee, and then it goes back to the two houses, no debate, yes or no, and then it's only 51. Anyway.
So
I don't forget before you leave, remember Mr. Kuligowski, Sam?
Driver education.
Absolutely.
Mechanized death. Remember the video?
Yes. When the guy opened the door and the bus. Oh, that was the best.
Do you remember Bill Grotke, our Latin teacher in freshman year?
I had Connie McGillicuddy. I had Bill Grotke in second year.
Because I took 2 years of Latin and I had Grotke both years. I never remember Connie McGillicuddy teaching Latin.
Taught me in first year and third year.
Really?
Yep.
What did
you
take,
Latin
or German or what?
I took Latin and French. I had Mr. Yes, what was that guy's name? I can't remember. I can see his face.
Nunder?
I had Mr. O'Connor in senior year for third year French.
Yep.
But who? What was the? It was a young guy.
He taught French.
Yes.
Gary Nunder.
I can't. I don't think I'd remember if. How many French teachers were there? Two or three?
I think that's about right. Two or three. I actually hit Father Montier, the principal for French.
Oh yes, he taught one class.
If you didn't know your lesson, you physically you were in trouble.
Oh.
Remember?
They had those steel rulers to whack your hands.
Oh yeah.
Oh. Remember Mr. Nochelski?
Yes.
I do. He went to lift me out of my chair by my tie one day, except I was wearing a clip-on. And he went flying across the room.
Oh,
and it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
I got a pointer broke over my head one time. I remember that. Part.
I couldn't stop laughing. So I was right on that little... I was right on that little stone bench. Rumor had it if you were sitting there, you were going out the door.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And,
hey, Norm.
And then, yes.
Here's another name that we talked about tonight at the bar on Clinton Street tonight. You remember Tony Yurkovic?
Anthony Yurkovic sat right next to me in English class.
He was the guy that did Hill Street Blues.
Absolutely. And do you remember? And it was the best part of Hill. I used to live to see
all those Buffalo references. Yeah.
Well, three quarters of those Buffalo references were people from Canisius High School.
That's right.
Remember Ed Jekulek?
Ed Jekulek moved down to Pennsylvania. He's one of the guys, you know, in that Punxsutawney Phil thing?
Yes.
Jekulek's one of the guys with the top hat and the marches up to the stage. That's Jekulek.
Really? Remember Peter Bellamo?
Yes, I do.
He was one of my best friends. And
that name sounds familiar. I thought so.
And who was the other? Oh, wait. I'm trying to remember. Was it John Cash?
I don't really remember him.
Oh, well, how about Ed Korda?
I remember the name, but I was never close to him.
Okay, he was a big, tall guy.
How about Joe Fago?
Oh, Joe, I remember Joe. I played football with him.
You know, for some reason, his dad took a liking to me. And he took me with the family up to Expo 67
in
Montreal, Canada.
Wow.
Yep.
And yes, and do you remember, why can't I remember his name? I can see his face. Oh, how about Frankie Peracci? His father is a police commissioner.
That's right.
Go ahead.
His dad was a good guy.
Yes, he was, and so was Frank.
Yep.
And I introduced him to his first wife.
What, did you come bad luck or what?
Well, I don't know what happened. I think they got married in college, and I don't know. I don't know if they had any kids or not, but I had met this girl from Holy Angels, and she had a girlfriend, and Frank drove, and I didn't drive, and they lived out in Lancaster, so I got him a date with the girlfriend, and they kept dating into college, and they got married, and I thought they'd lived happily ever after, but my brother's a banker. and Frank and his second wife came in for a mortgage one day. So I don't know what happened. And let's see, other, you know, he ran for Congress down here against Steny Hoyer a couple of times. Kevin Igo.
You know, I was going to ask you about Kevin. I didn't know he ran against. I knew he was involved politically down in D.C., but I
right,
never
he ran
against.
He ran against
never,
Steny. Hello? He ran against Steny Hoyer twice.
He did.
Yes, they can't find anybody to run against Steny Hoyer because he just wins 85% of the vote every time.
Yeah. Oh, that's like around here. You know, Matsui, no, the Republicans don't even put anybody up.
And who are they going to appoint? Did the council appoint somebody to that vacant seat yet, Sam?
Well, I'm surprised you're following it that closely, Norm. I'm impressed. No, there are, I guess, about 10 or 12 candidates.
Right, there was 12 the last time. I just go to Buffalo.com all the time to sort of stay in touch.
Yeah, but I think they're going to interview all the candidates. But I don't
Why don't they just have an election?
What's that?
Why don't they just have an election? It would be over by now.
Yeah. Well, the council has to appoint somebody from the same party, and then, you know, the next election they have to run for re-election.
Right, but why couldn't they just have a immediate election right now?
I'm not sure how the charter language reads as far as when the next election has to be to fill that that position, but...
Could they have had an election if they wanted to?
Well, I don't think they have much choice. I think whatever the charter says, you know, they have to...
What are the council... Are the council terms 2 years or 4 years?
2 years.
Yeah, okay. Well, now they're paying them $57,000 a year. That was in the article, too.
Yeah, that's pretty high. I mean, that's more than most states pay their state legislators.
Really? That's all they get?
Yeah, state legislators are part-time jobs. They're there for the Maryland guys. They're here for 6 weeks.
Oh, good God.
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
So
they usually extend... They come in February, they stay till, well, it might be 7 or 8. It's essentially February and March. And then they always extend the session.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's less time they have damage to do.
Well,
yeah,
you know.
That's probably a good thing.
We got a nice Irish governor from Baltimore, so good things happen.
Didn't the former Baltimore mayor get indicted or something recently?
Oh, not former, current, and yes, she was.
Current?
Yes, she was.
What the hell's going on down there?
It's politics at its best. what's his name? What did she? There was all kinds of charges against her, and they actually convicted her of 2 misdemeanors.
Yeah, sounds like it's all
alcohol. And now the question
related.
Is, will she was for misusing city credit cards.
Oh,
she didn't steal anything. She just used them and paid. I don't know. It's really pretty funny.
Did she get thrown out of office?
Well, they're arguing about that right now, whether she should resign. Maybe she actually, if they'd have convicted her of the big crimes, maybe... She could have got a cell next to the guy from Detroit.
Oh. That could be a love story.
Yeah.
You know, and then they throw the governor of Illinois on the same cell block, and they could call it, District B.
Well, Goyovich is kind of an interesting character.
I I didn't think he did anything bad.
Except that it was overheard.
Well, no, people have been doing that for years.
Well, yeah, I know.
What are you going to give me? You want the senator? What are you going to give me?
I know, it's just that they're normally a little bit more discreet about it.
Well, yes. You know, and I don't care what the guy in the White House wants to say. He put his 2 cents in for his guy.
Yep.
You know, at least in this election, none of the dead people in Chicago had a vote.
Yeah.
It's hard to get them up out of the graves.
Yeah, well, they're, you know. at least when you do the census, you know where they are, right?
Hey, you know.
They don't move all that often.
There's a lot of census jobs are available now. They're going to do that next year.
Well, I thought they did all the hiring this year, and they were all going to come.
Well, I don't think they've got enough people, especially since that guy hung himself on the tree down south somewhere. I forget where that was.
Tennessee, Kentucky.
It turns out the guy committed suicide.
Well,
yes.
That's called job stress.
I guess he went Census Bureau.
I mean, if I carved "fed" on my chest and hung myself, what are you going to think?
It sounded like he wanted to make it look like some,
right?
You know, right winger, you know, killed the guy.
Mm.
Oh God! So, where were you again on Clinton Street?
There's a bar on Clinton Street, like kind of one of these neighborhood spindles called Wee Checks.
Okay. Mm. Clinton and where?
Kind of right near Bailey.
Oh really?
Okay.
So, Norm, you'll appreciate this. I had a beef on Weck. It was like
$5. Yes.
And
the draft beers were like $1.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's $5.
Creamy horseradish.
It's $5 a pint anywhere here in D.C.
So, as you know, Norm, for about $5 you can get horrified in Buffalo.
Mm.
Oh, without question. Oh, God, remember eating beef on wax at Balo's on Bailey, at Lovejoy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the horseradish will make your eyes water and your nose run.
That's right. That place burned down.
Yes. Oh, remember Salvatore's on Delavan? Before all the big fancy Salvatore's opened?
You're right.
When it was just the old...
That's where it worked.
You want to know something about Salvatore's? Didn't that one burn down, too?
Oh, yes, but it burned down because they didn't like what, I don't want to say, what the black people were doing.
Yeah, I understand.
And
but,
so they burned it down.
You remember those two big urns in the front with the...
No. You're not, I'm going back farther than that. I'm talking on Delavan at Edison.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't remember urns.
Well, they had two big white urns in the front little potted Italian cypress trees.
Okay.
My mother has those. They're in her backyard. Yeah,
Russie,
my mother always
Russie.
Wanted them, and after the fire, they gave them to her.
Well, Rossi used to, Peter Bellamo, actually, we had a stag party at Salvatore's. And we gambled in the upstairs rooms. But when I was a busboy, the whole kitchen was full of Buffalo cops getting free meals.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I mean, there were tables of them. And you know. And when you worked late at night, Russie would sit at the bar. The family house was 2 doors away up Edison. Or not Edison, Harriet. And Russie would sit there and his bodyguards would take him home. It was astounding. And then he and Anthony, the father died. They sold the place on Delavan, and Anthony's dead now. But Rusty went and opened the Italian garden. What does he call it? Salvatore's Italian Garden.
Yeah, that's right.
And
they had good food.
We had my parents' 50th wedding anniversary at Salvatore's Italian Garden. Hey, guys, I just want you to know we're not online anymore, but it'll still be, everything's still being recorded.
Yeah.
And you can go hear that. Well, actually, you can go hear the show a couple ways. You can go to Blog Talk Radio, and the latest show will be there. You can go to my blog. You'll get a kick out of this, Sam. An Irish guy was sitting in a pub here in Washington. And we decided there wasn't enough ethnicity in the blogosphere. So we made our own blog. We called it Patty Wop. And it's looking through. You're sitting on the subtitle, you're sitting on a bar stool with two Catholics looking at the world through ethnic eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
And but it, you can, the address is Patty, PADDY 2 at blogspot.com, and you can get the latest Norm at Night on the left hand column too.
So Norm, you do this thing every week, this whole
every
thing?
Tuesday night, 9 to 10 o'clock. Last week I got fouled up and couldn't get an internet connection. And so I missed last week, but yes, I'm on every week. And if you get the boys from Buffalo to join in, I got about 3,000 listeners.
Is that right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not all on at the same. Oh, you know, I haven't even been looking in the chat. Oh my God, let me see if there's anybody in the chat room.
Well, I was in there, and Democratic Communist was there too.
Oh, I missed him.
Yeah. And I told him I was calling. I'm outside on the telephone, so I'm not near my laptop.
Oh, wait
but,
a minute. What happened?
I left little comments in there as you were talking, but you never read them, so, you know.
Yeah, but then because I...
All my wisdom is lost. You know?
Norm, would you do me a favor?
Sure.
You know that Patty site? Could you, you know, on my Facebook, could you email me that Facebook address?
Absolutely. I would love to, without any question, because I love Patty Wop. I like doing that blog. It's the only one I keep with any regularity.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it lately.
Although there is Democratic Communist.
Yeah.
This guy that calls the show from Toronto.
Really?
Hey, you know, Yes, Norm at Night has been, well, Carl's calling from California, Sacramento, well, not Sacramento anymore, the Bay Area, right?
No, I'm in north of Sacramento. Well, it's still in Sacramento. I'm right near right near the arena.
My God, Democratic Communist. Oh, there's some great stuff here from him. But Norman Knight's been kicked off the air twice.
Yeah.
No, it's
Norm,
true. It started out.
Listen, we're at the age here. I don't mean to sound like a dinosaur, but when we were going to high school, there was no computers. There was nothing. All this technology stuff amazes me.
Oh, it's wonderful. No, but the Norm at Night actually started. I was teaching at St. Albans. That's where Timmy Russert's kid went. But I got a job teaching there. It's a big, fancy, very nice, very wonderful school here in D.C. I can't, you know, it costs 100 times what it cost to go to Canisius when we went. And do you remember what the tuition was, Sam? I do.
Norm, the first year we went in 1964, I believe the tuition was $240.
No, that was after your grant and aid. It was $320 before.
That's pricey. Well, for that time.
Well, I do remember this, that I couldn't afford a yearbook my first year.
And, you know, I can remember my mother insisted that I go there. My father, he said, I have to work for a month to make the tuition.
Mm.
Yep.
No, it's true. Oh, Sammy, do you remember Stewie Armstrong?
No, not really.
Oh, the coach of the Muni team?
No, I don't remember him.
The ball-headed guy with glasses?
No, I remember Jim Skipper and Connie McGillicuddy from, you know.
Right, that was. Oh, do you remember? It's one of the crystal baseball memories of my life. We were playing, I forget, what was the name of the American Legion team from Canisius? Was it Blabs?
Well, you're testing my memory now. I don't remember.
Well, we were on the Canisius team, and you pitched against Dale Tipas.
From Tymon?
No, he went to St. Joe. He went to St. Joe.
You know what, Norman? I don't even remember that.
Oh, it was American Legion game on a Sunday. I always remember it because Tipas threw a two-hitter. I got both hits, and we lost the game 1-0.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. They were supposed to kill us. And you pitched 1-0. You pitched a great game. And do you remember Mike Kokoda?
Yes.
He couldn't throw the ball over the plate to save his life, and everybody thought he was a great pitcher.
Here, Norm, we were playing a game at Delaware 2, and the umpire was standing behind the pitcher. Jace Coxfield was batting. And he called Jace out on a strike that Jace didn't think was a strike.
Uh-huh.
He threw the bat. He threw the bat at the umpire and almost hit the pitcher.
Oh.
He had a temper. You know, Jace was, like, in charge of the security force for the Capitol down there.
Really?
Yeah, he was close to Russert.
Oh, I know, and because Timmy always said, "Well, we got to go have a beer with Jace." You know, there's this little pub on Connecticut Avenue in D.C. It's called Nanny O'Brien's, and Tim actually didn't live far from there, and Tim loved the place. They kept a case of Rolling Rock in the refrigerator.
Oh, God.
They didn't sell it. But Tim liked Rolling Rock. And whenever Tim would, you know, and so we actually had a few meetings there about his webpage and stuff. So when Patty, my buddy, we would come in and they'd say, "Is Tim coming?" I'd say, "Yes." And they'd get this pail out and fill it with ice with thick Rolling Rocks. And the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
We were sitting there one night. What?
Do you remember a bar down in D.C. called the Red Ant?
No.
Well,
I don't know it.
It was a bar. I don't know if it's still there, but I happened to come down there on city business. It was St. Patrick's Day, and I hooked up with Caulfield and a guy by the name of Kevin Cummings, who used to work for a federal agency down there, like it was before Homeland Security, but like Immigration Service or something.
Mm-hmm.
We started the Red Ant and ended up in Old Town. It was a nightmare. We almost got into a fight in a bar. Caulfield had a bad temper, and
yes, he did.
We were drinking all day, and it was we almost John almost got into a fight in the bar, and the cops came in, and it wasn't pretty.
He was a real. Do you remember the Tymon basketball game when the riot broke out?
I remember going to a Tymon basketball game, and we took two buses. We beat Tymon at Tymon, and when we came out, there was about 200 Tymon guys trying to tip our bus over.
Hey, guys, I don't mean to spoil the party, but I got to go. And this has been great, and I'm going to sign off and tell the boys to call next week, and I'll get you the address for Patty Wop. No problem, Sam.
Oh, just type in Patty Wop. I think it's the first thing that comes up on Google.
Norm,
oh, all right.
I think
after all
the
time, and I'll have the guys call next week.
Outstanding. Tuesday, Norm at night. We'll see y'all. Bye, Carl.
Okay, take care, man. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.